Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 21, and Paul writes, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous. They have given themselves up to the sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." In John chapter 11, we read of the account of the death and basically the resurrection of Lazarus. Jesus was called by Mary and Martha because their brother was very sick. He was a very good friend to Jesus. But the Bible also tells us that Jesus had waited until after Lazarus died. And as Jesus got to town, both Mary and Martha approached Jesus and in verse 32 said that if only you had been here, our brother would not have died. We're all very familiar with the story. We understand that there was more about this death than the sisters knew. Jesus looked at the grieving families and friends. The Bible said that Jesus was deeply moved in the spirit and troubled. And then he asked them where Lazarus was laid. And they took Jesus to the tomb, and it was there that Jesus had wept. In verse 38, the Bible tells us that Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, came to the grave. It was a cave with a stone across it. It was at that point that Jesus asked that the stone be removed, and Martha tried to reason with him that after 4 days, the smell would be horrible. But Jesus had other plans. He had them remove the stone, and Jesus prayed. And then he cried out loud, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus came out with his hands and feet that were bound in grave clothes. The English Standard says that Jesus said, "Unbind him and let him go." Other versions say, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." I want to use the last translation that I found for our lesson tonight. Take off the grave clothes and let him go. You know, you see, the reason that Lazarus was no longer needed to be bound by grave clothes was that he was no longer under the dominion of death. And that is exactly Paul's argument in Ephesians chapter 4. We understand that the Bible was written to be obeyed, not just read. And Paul, here in these verses, is telling us that here is what Christ has done for you. Here is what you ought to do for Christ. As we mentioned many times, James 1 verse 22, being doers of the word and not just hearers. And the fact is that we have been called by Christ to live a life worthy of that calling. We hopefully are alive in Christ and not dead in our sins. And so we read in Ephesians 4 verse 22 to put off the old self. And then we read again the phrase in verse 24 to put on the new self. So in essence, what Paul is telling us is we need to remove the grave clothes and put on the grace clothes. Now, some may ask, well, what are grave clothes? Now, we we have that tradition and we have that understanding. When a loved one passes, we find maybe their favorite dress or their favorite suit and we give it to the funeral home and they put that on. That was a lot different then than it is today. Back then, they were bound in wrappings, the ointments and things that they would use in order to preserve the body in some way were used. These clothes were to make sure that everything stayed the same as when they put them in the grave. Grave clothes are things that bind us. And we can name a million grave clothes that bind us. How do we get out of our grave clothes? And how do we get into our grace clothes? That grace that has been given to us by Jesus Christ. For one, we need to start thinking differently. In verse 17 of Ephesians 4, Paul said, "Now I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds." If I was to put it in today's vernacular, if this was written, let's say Jesus died 20 years ago, and Paul was writing this letter to us, Paul would use the vernacular that we talk today, and Paul would say something like, "Listen up. What I'm sharing with you is not optional. You want to call yourself a Christian, then understand the change." Protestant minister Dr. Lloyd Jones said, "We have not merely been saved that we might escape hell. We have been saved in order that God may present a people which will astonish the world." Do we astonish anyone in our world with our grace clothes? Are we different today than we were before we came up out of that water? Paul's statement that we must no longer walk as the Gentiles do is a sad implication for many Christians, because they're living the same way they lived before. They put on those grace clothes. So how did the Gentiles live? It started with their futile thinking. Non-Christians think without substantial purpose. If we do not know God, we cannot understand God. And if we don't understand God, how can we truly understand ourselves? If we don't understand and know the Creator, how can we understand and know the created? The unbeliever's thinking is futile because they live in darkness. In verse 18, Ephesians 4, it says, "They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardness of their heart." What is the philosophy of today? That we can think of a lot of things. Climate change. There's no such thing as male and female because we can change however way we want to be. That is the philosophy of today. And we can sit there and worship Mother Earth and sit there and do everything we can to supposedly avoid climate change, but it'll never work because the climate's always changing. Always. Our day and age is very critical. we are no different than the Romans were. And it didn't take but a couple of centuries, a few centuries, for them to go by the wayside. Romans chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Paul has some good things to say here. Interesting things, I should say. Claiming to be wise, they become fools. Exchange the glory of the immortal God for images resembling man and birds and animals and creeping things. But if you look a little further back and down in further verses 24, 26, and 28, it uses the frame God gave them up. If we want to believe that our wisdom is the best, God's going to let us do that. God's not going to stop us. We're going to sink further and further and further until God is simply going to turn us over to those things that our heart desires. He doesn't do it because He hates us. He does it because He wants us to love Him from our heart. And that is the same freedom of choice God gives us as the freedom of choice to do whatever we please. We cannot, as Christians, pattern ourselves after an unsaved person. Sometimes we forget the experience of the miracle of being raised from the dead through our baptism. In every way, the believer is different than the unbeliever. And that's why Paul gives the brethren in Ephesus the warning, walk no longer as the Gentiles do. Let's look in verses 20 and 21. Let's see the change that is supposed to take place. But that is not the way you learn to Christ. Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. Now that phrase, learned Christ, this is the only place in the New Testament in the Bible where it is used. We're not talking about knowing the doctrine of Christ, but knowing Christ Himself. We came to know Jesus. We came to have a relationship with Him and with the Creator of this world. To know what it means to live Christ. This change is supposed to be so great that it changes who we are. Remember that Paul said that the unsaved man is spiritually ignorant and separated from the life of God. Well, the saved man is just the opposite. We're taught the truth in Christ. But we oftentimes fail to see the need of a deeper understanding of the Bible. How many times do we find ourselves not desiring to be challenged in our classes? In our personal studies, a desire to dig even deeper. When we fail to do those things, we fail to get to know and understand Jesus on a more intimate basis. And when we get to know Christ on that level, then we will truly have change. We can't live the way we have been living and have the depth of a relationship with Christ if we're not willing to do it. When we come to know Christ, everything about us changes. That new life that we've been given, a life where things on the outside have become insignificant. We've allowed the old self to be destroyed. We desire to have those grave clothes removed. In Romans 12, verse 2, Paul told the brethren in Rome that they were transformed by the renewing of their minds, that we are a new creation, that we've been spiritually raised from the dead. What is conversion? Conversion is a crisis that leads to a process. As we understand the truth of God more and more, as we try and strive to live this Christian life, we begin to change. It's a change that occurs daily. And the end result is that our new self is being created more and more into the image of God. Not only in truth, but in righteousness and holiness. There are many out there who refuse the idea of change. Many do not like to face themselves and admit that the change is needed. And yet, there are specific things, specific teachings about what we are to do that require us to change. This evening, are you ready to remove those grave clothes? The grave clothes that have bound us into sin and put on the grace clothes through Christ Jesus. The invitation is set before you tonight. Through repentance and confession, to have your sins washed away in New Testament baptism, you can remove the stench of sin and God Himself will add you to His church. Are you a Christian tonight? Have you changed? Have you stopped living like the world and have been living like Christ? If not, you can change that tonight also. If there's any that has a need, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.